Okay, good evening everyone. Welcome to this meeting of the City of Sydney Local Planning Panel, and I thank everyone for attending. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge that we do meet on the land of the Aboriginal people, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. I pay my respects to Elders past and present. And the Local Planning Panel also acknowledges the current Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people residing within this area. The meeting today is to consider the development applications on the agenda. The panel tonight is myself, Richard Pearson, it's the independent chair. We also have Peter Romey immediately to my right and Sean Carter to Peter's right as the independent experts, and Amelia Thorpe on my left as the community representative. We also have Mr. Graham Yarn at the table, who is the director of planning at the city. Please be assured we will tonight be making our decisions based on the planning merits of each application and following consideration of any views expressed by people who address the panel tonight and in submissions on the applications. Determinations by the panel will be by a majority of votes of members present, and if the votes are tied, the chair will have a casting vote. There is, as an important transparency measure, we do publish the reasons for our decisions in the minutes as part of the decision. Where we go against staff recommendation, if we go against staff recommendation, we will state our reasons for doing that. I do also draw people's attention to what is called a relevant to memo in relation to item 3, the development application for Leichhardt Street Glebe, which is essentially a supplementary memo prepared by council staff that analyses correspondence received from the applicant post the report being prepared, and also includes a parking study submitted by a submitter. So those two matters are dealt with in the relevant two, which is available in the foyer. And so if people would like to see what is said in that memo, please get a copy of the memo from the foyer just outside the door. The procedure tonight is the Manager of Planning Assessments, Bill Mackay, will make a presentation on each application before the panel, the key issues raised, and the council staff recommendation. We will then hear from members of the public who have registered to speak, and we do have a number of speakers registered in relation to the Glebe proposal, and the applicant or his or her representative. Please do note there is a 3-minute time limit with a warning bell at 2 minutes. We won't be absolutely rigid in finishing people up, but I will ask you to finish at around about the 3-minute mark. I do ask that each speaker be heard in silence when addressing the panel, and courtesy and respect be observed throughout the meeting. Please ensure no personal criticism is directed at any speaker or council staff, which is contrary to the panel's code of conduct and will not be accepted by the panel. The panel may ask questions of speakers to clarify our understanding of what is being said. And please be aware your speech will be recorded by the council tonight and made available on the city's website. But please don't feel you need to verbatim present any speech. It's mainly for us to hear the key points that you want to make. Please note there is no recording or filming of the meeting other than the council official record. After hearing from speakers, the panel will consider and make its decision on each application. This may involve the panel adjourning to confer amongst ourselves, or we may make the decision immediately hearing from speakers without the need to adjourn. If we do adjourn, we will absolutely come back into this forum and make our decision publicly. It will not be made behind closed doors. So with those introductory comments, I do turn now to item 1, which is disclosures of interest on the agenda. And in accordance with clause 4.9 of the Code of Conduct for Local Planning Panels, all members tonight have signed a declaration of interest form in relation to each matter on the agenda. No members have declared any pecuniary or non-pecuniary interest in any matter on the agenda for this meeting tonight. Item 2 is the minutes of the previous meeting of the 7th of November, which have been endorsed by the chair of that meeting, and consulted with the other members of that panel. So that moves us to item 3, the development application for 55A Leichhardt Street Glebe. I'm going to ask Bill Mackay to run through the application, and then I have a number of residents who wish to speak, which I'll call individually, and then the applicant. So over to Bill Mackay. Thank you.
So just by way of background, this application was considered by the planning panel on the 10th of October, and a decision was deferred and for the application to come back to a meeting in November. The application was deferred to allow discussions between council staff and the applicant to possibly seek an amendment to the proposal to resolve issues of capacity, traffic, noise management and parking. A meeting was held between council officers and the applicant on the 2nd of November. The application has not been formally amended at this time, but the applicant is seeking for a further deferral to carry out further survey work, the results of which would inform a potential amended future proposal. So the application seeks consent for a restaurant use for 152 patrons on the upper level of the Bellevue House building and a cafe with a capacity of 96 patrons on the lower level. The hours of operation are intended to be between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. 7 days. The site is located within a public recreation zone. The development's permissible with consent. The application as proposed is recommended for refusal. So the application was notified originally in December of last year and January of this year. 58 owners and occupiers were notified. 83 submissions were received. 22 submissions were in support of the proposal and 61 submissions were objecting. The submissions in objection relate to the increasing capacity of the use of the site from 60 patrons to 248 patrons. So the existing cafe on the site has a consent which is restricted by condition to a total of 60 patrons. The proposed hours of operation to 10 p.m. in the evening, the use being adjacent to a residential area. Traffic and parking impact from the development and noise impact from the development. The use of the site for functions, part of the proposal is for up to 15 functions per year. The fact that the site would have a liquor license, antisocial behaviour coming from the use, that the use is inconsistent with the zoning for open space, although I would say it is a permissible use, and that the site should be used for a community purpose. Other submissions related to waste management, landscaping in the park, insufficient storage for tables and chairs, the conflict of interest with council. Council is the owner of the property, and the notification period. So this is a site identified in red. Obviously, the use relates to the Bellevue House building within that larger site, and the submissions came from nearby and surrounding residential properties, which were identified in blue. So this is the site location. The site is the building is within a public recreation zone, which is identified in green, and that's adjacent to a residential zone. So access to the site is through a residential area. This plan shows the access to the site from Glebe Point Road. So that's via, if you were going in a vehicle, would be via Leichhardt Street and Stewart Street. And those are some one-way streets providing access to and from the site. The next set of slides are just views of the existing site. Now, since these photographs were taken in more recent times, the operation has commenced under the existing consent. So this is the site looking north from the end of Leichhardt Street. This is looking southeast at the upper and ground floor part of the building, which would be used for the restaurant. This is looking northeast at the upper ground floor restaurant. These are the stairs connecting to Leichhardt Street from the lower portion of the site. So just on the right-hand side of the image is where the cafe would be. This low ground cafe area and courtyard, which is adjacent to the stairs, which are just off to the left of the image. This is a view down Leichhardt Street cul-de-sac and a loading zone at the end of Leichhardt Street. And this is a view in the opposite direction from the top of the steps to the end of Leichhardt Street. And it's a little closer view, so it's neighbouring apartments at 16 Leichhardt Street, adjacent to the loading zone at the end of Leichhardt Street. And this is the neighbouring or the nearest residence to the premises at 53 Leichhardt Street, which is essentially just opposite the loading zone. This is a view looking west along Leichhardt Street and looking from the corner of Leichhardt Street and Oxley Street. So this is a floor plan of the proposed restaurant on the upper level. So the seating inside and the veranda and outside of the building. And this is a proposed cafe at the lower level adjacent to the stair access. So just by way of development application history, there is a consent on the site for a cafe, which is currently in operation. That is restricted to a maximum of 60 patrons. And the hours of use are restricted between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. and until 8 p.m. during daylight savings. So in terms of compliance with the LEP and DCP controls, there is an issue in relation to the aims of the controls, which in that it's inconsistent with the aim to ensure that the pattern of land use and density reflects the existing and future capacity of the transport network. Major issue with the application is potential traffic generation and the availability of on-street parking to meet that traffic that is generated. The building is a heritage item, it's a state heritage item, and an exemption has been given by the State Heritage Office for the proposed works associated with the application. And in terms of trading management, the premises is likely to result in adverse impacts to residential surrounds due to traffic impacts, and that's resulting from the proposed patron capacity. So the issue is essentially the patron capacity, parking and traffic movements. In terms of patron capacity, a total of 248 patrons is proposed. It's currently restricted to 60. The upper level is proposed to be 152, 96 for the lower level cafe. The applicant has advised that the premises will generally operate at 60% capacity, around about 150, and only full capacity for functions. The applicant has been, during the assessment of the application, requested to reduce the capacity, but at this point the application has not been amended. So the assessment of the application has been based on that total capacity proposed of 248 patrons. In terms of traffic movements, access to the site by vehicles is via a one-way street network. So Leichhardt Street is one vehicle width at the end of Leichhardt Street. There's no turning circle or cul-de-sac at the end of Leichhardt Street. At the moment, vehicles that are turning at the end of Leichhardt Street would have to use the loading zone if that's available. And if that's being occupied by vehicles, they'd normally reverse into the vehicle entrance of the adjoining or adjacent residential flat building to allow them to turn around. So there are two loading spaces at the end of Leichhardt Street and one accessible car parking space. As I said, if they're not being used, they allow for a vehicle to turn around, but if they're occupied, then turning of vehicles is difficult. So there's, at this point in time, there's no suitable location for a drop-off and pick-up. At the end of Leichhardt Street, without changes to traffic or parking restrictions. The applicant in their application has requested a change to the loading restrictions to allow vehicles to turn around, but that requires a separate application to the local pedestrian cycle and traffic calming committee. So this plan shows the immediate access to the site. So if you're travelling to the site in a vehicle, it would be one way along Leichhardt Street. And then at the top end of Leichhardt Street, you have a two-way portion of the street and then one way out along Oxley Street. That's the loading zone spaces I was just talking about a moment ago. So when the vacant vehicles can turn around, if they're occupied, then obviously the manoeuvring of vehicles at the end of Leichhardt Street becomes difficult. So the applicant has carried out a parking survey within the vicinity of the area, within 300 metres walk of the area, 107 spaces were surveyed. And they've also carried out a limited survey of the Boathouse restaurant to try and ascertain the extent to which people would drive to their premises. And that survey found that up to 15% of patrons of that premises drove to the premises. So 15% of 240 patrons is approximately 37 parking spaces that may be required at any one time if the use is operating at full capacity. Obviously, it should be noted that over the time of the operation, there may well be more than 240 patrons visiting the premises. Obviously, people will come and go. So it's been deemed as insufficient existing parking available within the surveyed area. So these are the streets that were surveyed. And these are some of the figures or the results of the survey. So the top table identifies available car parking or average parking vacancies on Saturday and Sunday mornings. On the top row, you have the time, 7 o'clock through to 12 o'clock, and below that, the average number of spaces available. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, you'd have just over between 11 and 12 spaces. Perhaps 11 o'clock in the morning, you may have up to 30 spaces available within those streets that were shown. On a Friday and Saturday evening, between 6 and 10 o'clock, the number of spaces available may range between 26 spaces at around 6 o'clock down to around about 8 or 9 spaces at 9:30. So the applicant has identified some additional parking at the end of Glebe Point Road. That's approximately 500 metres walk away through the park. They have proposed some alternatives to encourage people to perhaps park in this area. One of the suggestions was a shuttle service with a pedal-powered rickshaw through the park. That's not supported as an option to deal with the issue on a regular basis. It's not likely to be considered to be effective to manage traffic to the site on in all occasions. So this plan just sort of shows the location of that additional parking at the end of Glebe Point Road in connection with the subject site. So the application is recommended for refusal as it currently stands. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So we move to speakers now. I've got. We'll start with Nathan Fisher. If you could come forward, Nathan, to the seat and just press the button when you're ready to speak. I'll just say before you start, we have received the hard copy of your presentation and also Palvinda's. So you don't need to read the whole thing. We have read it, but if you just want to highlight the key points, that would be fantastic.
So ladies and gentlemen on the panel, thanks for your time today. I don't believe the current DA should ever have got this far. The vast majority of the local residents are opposed to it. The council has recommended that it be rejected, and more importantly, the recommendation of the Independent Report Commission basically express the fact that it should be refused. The DA, in our opinion, is fundamentally flawed, is inconsistent and would be significantly detrimental to the amenity of the local area. We do encourage local adaptation and reuse of Bellevue. We actually do support its current usage as a 60-seat cafe and restaurant, which definitely adds to the amenity of the area. We're opposed to the scale of what's being proposed here for a late-night trading venue and function centre, which is with the capacity more than four times its current restrictions. Just to give you some comparison, that's five times the size of Glebe Point Diner, which I'm sure many of you have dined at over the years. And this is in a quiet residential neighbourhood with no on-site parking and already existing traffic and parking congestion. So in terms of traffic congestion, the proposed DA will significantly increase traffic and cause congestion in what is already a difficult area to navigate due to tight, narrow one-way streets that culminate in the area leading up to the venue being two-way traffic. It's only wide enough for one-way vehicles. There's no turning circle, as the gentleman alluded to. Delivery vans and garbage trucks servicing the cafe already dangerously and, should I say, illegally reverse 70 to 80 metres down the road past the children's playground to approach the cafe, which we're very concerned about. The restaurant patrons and visitors already are forced to use neighbouring private driveways of the 16 Leichhardt Street apartment block and the 53 Leichhardt Street from Paul to consistently turn around due to the lack of turning circle. We even spoke to council people across in the last week, and the council workers expressed their need to use the private car spaces because they can't turn around themselves. This past weekend when we did a traffic survey, there was 125 parkings out of 125 potential parking spots. At times there were zero spaces available. Drivers unfamiliar with the area would potentially go the wrong way up one-way streets, and I witnessed that five times in the space of just two short days on the weekend, which again is very dangerous. The valet parking, which is an option proposed by the applicant, would not work because of the traffic issues and the lack of nearby large parking spaces where cars could be parked off-site. In terms of noise issues, Bellevue Cottage is located outside of the designated late-night trading area, and there's no late-night trading premises within the immediate vicinity in a residential area. Up to 15 functions throughout the year proposed, yet no consideration of amplified noise was included in the acoustic reports. I'm not sure how many of you have been to a wedding recently where there's been no microphone, music or band. In terms of hours of operation, the proposed extension of hours is in consideration of the local environment, the local impacts, the local residents. Staff will arrive as early as 5:30 in the morning and leave at 11 o'clock at night, with resident bedrooms less than 3 metres from the road. In terms of bookings, there is no bookings allowed as part of the current DA. But the applicant already on Saturday ignored that that directive and had a large event just days before this hearing where they had a private event with the numbers already exceeding the capacity limitations on the venue in its current existing DA. So in conclusion, as one of the property owners most affected by this application, I strongly object to the proposed DA and hope that you see with some clarity that the local residents and all the other parties who are involved believe this DA should be rejected. The negative impact of this DA on the quality of life and on the residents cannot be understated. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Nathan. So, Palvinder Singh. And again, Palvinder, we do have the full transcript of your speech, so we have all read that. So if you could highlight the main points. much, Balvinder. I would now ask Janet Simpson to come forward, please. I just should say, if the panel members have any questions, they will raise them with you at the time. So if you could do your three-minute presentation, please, Janet.
I was at the last meeting, and I have only one thing to add to what I said last time. I don't know if the panel is the same this time.
Different member, but it's otherwise the same, yeah.
In Stewart Street and have lived there for the last 40 years. Stewart Street is the only access road out to Glee Point Road from Bellevue Cottage. It is only about 100 metres long. All it contains is four strata building blocks. There are three of the buildings belong to one strata plan, and then there's another. The other has about 30 units. Ours has 43 units, so there are something over 70 units altogether. Both were registered in the 70s and both have one car space or garage for each unit. But a lot of people now living there, and we have in our block, we have a preponderance of tenants rather than owners. A lot of the tenants have two people there and they have two cars. So all the cars exceeding one per unit have to park in the surrounding streets, and there's not a lot of space there anyway. There is no legal on-street parking in Stewart Street, none at all. I conducted a parking survey at the time when I did my first objection to this, and it's been superseded by other parking surveys. But parking is my main concern, though there are others. The only thing I really need to add to this is that, we have people now who avail themselves of the car spaces or the driveways if they feel like it, because there is no parking. Last Sunday afternoon, between 4 and 5 p.m., I went outside to remove my car, and I was parked in by someone who had no right to be in someone else's driveway. He was visiting from across the road, and it was just by luck that he came out when I was about to move, because I would have been parked in by him. It's not the first time that's happened. We've actually had people who have discovered that some garages are not in use, and they have used the driveways as commuter parking, because we're near the bus stop. People used to come and park there, go into work, come back at the end of the day. Now, police won't attend for that kind of parking because it's on private property, and that's happening now because of the shortage of parking spaces. I can't imagine how much worse it would be if this proposal were approved.
Thank you. Any questions for Janet? No? I think appreciate that. Thank you very much, Janet. Margaret McCluskey. Sorry, Margaret, if you just press your button so we can all...
I'd just like to apologise because I'm not prepared. I only received this morning. I also was away when the Christmas one came. I think you kindly took my submission late and added it to it, because it had to be in by the 14th of January or something. I received no notification for the October meeting, so I just wonder if Council could consider generally that there's more than this 2 weeks' notice, and this was mailed on the 15th, so it's not even a week. That's just a general request for extra time. The other thing is that I think most of the points have been covered. The lady before me has just mentioned, because our visitor parkings also get used by people who we have great difficulty persuading that they shouldn't be there or and blocking. And where they've got the two driveways off the bottom of Leichhardt Street, and they end up potentially, if they get blocked, then everybody in our unit can't get out. And if they start to use that as part of the turning circle, then there's going to be damage done to the driveways and things. And I guess that would be at our cost to repair. I can't imagine that anyone else would be looking after the repairs that happen from turning. And otherwise, it really is just this, the extended hours, the fact that we should be allowed to enjoy our home in peace. And if it's 7 days a week with these long hours and no breaks, that it starts to get, I think, a little bit difficult to have a comfortable lifestyle. The parking, I think, has been covered adequately. And the only other thing is, I think it'd be a terrible pity if the cottage were not used. And so I sort of half wondered whether, you know, whether some sort of discounted rentals or some lateral thought could be put in that would make it a viable proposition for somebody to use, whether the state or the council. I'm sorry, I don't understand all of that, but that's something that I just feel perhaps could be considered. And the other thing, I mean, I started being involved very casually, not terribly much because I've got too much on my plate, but when the Victoria Tea Rooms were on and there was a massive meeting in the Glebe, I think it was at the library, I don't even remember exactly where it was anymore, but nearly the whole of Glebe turned out. There was, was anyone else there?
Close to
200 people were there, and that was because, again, it was going to have lots of functions late at night, and I really would have thought that we'd covered everything then and that we should have been able to put it to bed by now. Find some use for it, because I think to not use it would be a tragedy, but something that makes sense for that particular location and with that sort of access. And that, you know, the other thing is of putting in a project creep in general, not just this project, but projects in general. It's just terrible. You know, you're put in for five stories, and the next thing you've got 20. I'm not going to say not this project, but just generally. I think it should be discouraged by our representatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Okay, so Peter Hannah, the applicant, is the next person I have on my list. Peter, if there's any of the issues that the residents have raised that you care to respond to, that's open to you to do that as well. Otherwise, you can present what you want to the panel relating to your application. It might be useful to address some of the residents' issues that they've raised as part of your presentation. And if you can press your button, Peter, when you start. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll do the best I can. to address the residents first, I guess, we have just as much concern about Leichhardt Street as the residents do. It's vital for the business itself that we sort out the parking issue that's there. In fact, if we don't actually sort out that issue, it's actually bad for our business, because we're not predominantly about just creating good food. Good food is necessary but not sufficient. It's about the entire experience. We don't actually want our customers to come down and park on Leichhardt Street. We'd rather the experience of a customer hitting Uber, the Uber coming within 2 minutes, getting in a nice, comfortable car, having a good chat, getting to the restaurant, being met by the restaurant manager, rewarding that customer with a nice glass of wine or some hors d'oeuvres or something, thanking him for coming by Uber, getting in the Uber at the end of the restaurant, picking him up once again, not worrying about having a couple of extra drinks if he likes, not worrying about the police on the way home. It's about an entire experience. If we are dependent on Leichhardt Street, then I think we've failed as a venue. That's our philosophy. I just wanted to communicate that. In terms of the meeting with council, look, we are very appreciative, actually, with council. We had a really good meeting with the team on the 2nd of November. We felt that their position was very fair, we had agreed that in respect to the panel's decision that we were going to come up with a compromise in terms of numbers. The 248 is not sustainable or not acceptable, and the 120. So we had walked in, we had some, we had open, soft open on the 21st of October. We had some issues. We sort of walked in the council meeting on the 2nd of November from memory. A very good meeting, and the outcome was fair, and they basically, we sort of agreed that, all right, let's the facts and the reality of the situation and the numbers and the surveys help dictate and objectively determine what sort of it can support. The incentivise, we didn't have enough data on the end of Glebe Point Road, so we agreed for a two-week survey on the end of Glebe Point Road. We didn't have enough. We wanted to really understand what the patrons of that area were doing for similar restaurants. We had done a survey, but probably we wanted to get more data around how many people were actually Ubering, how many people were driving. A previous survey that we had commissioned came up with 15% had drive. We have opened, and what we've come to realise that 80 or 90% of our patrons now, we think, we can't be sure until we actually do the survey, are walkers. They come with their dogs. In fact, our 30 seats were full on Saturday, the inside and outside. We had a queue of 25 people, walkers, and all day Saturday, for example, there were plenty of car spots because they had walked down to the venue. We had to turn people away, or people got on waiting lists and all sorts of things. Now, on Sunday, a couple of neighbours said that there were some issues on Sunday. Well, there was also a neighbour who had an event on Sunday, and that put a lot of... Like, at 11 o'clock, to be honest, I walked out, counted, there was about 10 or 12 spots free. 12 o'clock, I was scratching my head because there was nothing free. I couldn't find a spot. And then until I realised that there was a neighbour who had a big event and they had actually come down Leichhardt Street and all parking. So these sort of anomalies will happen when neighbours have sort of events and parties and whatnot. I hope I've covered everything. So in terms of that final position, that we'd love to, as sort of we've discussed with council and sort of agreed, provide the more numbers, inform that compromise number. It's really hard for us. Do we cut from the outside, right, and suffer in summer, or do we cut numbers from the inside and suffer in winter? It's really, for us, it's about a numbers game. At the moment, we are at that 11 to 12 o'clock period. We have 25 queuing, and it's hard. Like, you know, we have to turn people away. We have to tell them to, you know, wait. That's not sort of good for business either. It's not good for the customer experience. So I hope that's covered in the other country.
Thanks for that, Peter. Any questions for Mr. Hannah from the panel? Yes.
I just had a question about the event on Saturday night that the speakers mentioned. Could you tell us what happened then?
We did have a standing event. It wasn't the night, it was actually the afternoon. It went into the evening before. To be honest, it was a friend's event. It was a party. It wasn't. We didn't have seated 60. It was like people just standing, and we had sort of like canapes, and so we were allowed to have that sort of number with the canape and no seats. So we had some seats for great grandparents and parents, maybe 15 seats or something, just on the balcony area, maybe a little bit in the room, but that was it. Now, in terms of the event itself, it was like a family friend event, and and we had it on the Saturday. We have been a little bit confused lately because we've been focusing on that. So everyone was out by 8 p.m. and we were very strict on the seats. So we only have 30 inside, 30 out. And that was basically what happened. Yeah. And mind you, there was no pressure on Leichhardt Street because people parked at the end of Glebe Point Road. So they had two, three cars, to be honest, on Leichhardt. Some of the grandparents and parents that were dropped off and great-grandparents.
Peter, thanks for your response to that. In your delivery just then, you said that you don't have hard evidence, but you have a view that 80 to 90% of your current patrons are walkers. The What you're proposing, though, is a different kind of pattern of use, particularly evening use. I mean, are you suggesting that you think that pattern would continue despite the change in operations?
No, I honestly don't. I think it'll be a different pattern at night. I don't think it's a one-size-fit-all for all, but definitely the breakfast, lunch, that brunch, is a walker's event. A lot of dogs in the park frolicking around. It's a leash-free area. The night has to be addressed in a different way. We can't sort of blindly say that we expect... we do expect a lot of walkers because a lot of medium, high-density people walking along the bay there. We're really convinced that we can incentivise Uber and also incentivise the use of Ender Glebe Point Road. We're not going to get it 100%. I think you'll still get some parking. I think that Glebe Point Road, from the surveys that we've seen, can support... Lockhart Street, can support a little bit of traffic there because the surveys have told us that. Glebe Point Road can support a lot, we know that, but council have asked for some data around that, some statistical data, so they can make an objective decision, which is admirable. And the incentivising Uber is really key because Sydney moves around differently now than it did 3 years ago, than it did 5 years ago. And so what we want to do is we want to latch on to the way that Sydneysiders around the city are moving around, encourage it, incentivise it, and change that entire experience, not just the food. The food's just one part of it. So I hope that didn't ramble. I hope that answered sort of.
Yeah. Any other questions of Peter? Peter, I just want to clarify, you're seeking from the panel tonight a further deferral in order to do further parking studies and come back in the new year. Is that essentially what your ask is of the panel?
Exactly. So basically after we met with the council on 2nd of November, the time between the two meetings, not only did we have that opening, but council indicated they need 6 weeks for due process, which is to notify the neighbours and make sure everyone is aware of the facts and the decision. So we didn't, on that 2nd of November, even if we got straight at it, to be honest, that 6 weeks is very tight. But what we have, so we sort of came to some agreement in that meeting. What we did do after that is we've talked to the traffic consultant and we designed the surveys with some help from council in terms of the number of weeks needed and outside of school holiday period, et cetera. And so that data is planned to be collected by the end of November, beginning of December, because it has to happen before the school holidays begin, and then we'll have a report based on some more data, including some real data from the restaurant, survey data, as to how the people are using it, the restaurant. So we want to get that data, present a position. We will come down in a number out of respect to the panel and respect to the neighbours and everyone involved, so we will. We just want to give it our best opportunity possible to make it commercially viable because it's quite tough.
Oh yes, Sean. Yep.
Just a quick question, Peter. How do you plan to incentivise the Uber drive to your restaurant?
I feel like Maxwell Smart and those old Get Smart. But that's a good question because the one thought that we had that might work. So if someone's sort of in the local area, they get an Uber, it's only a few kilometres away, it'll cost them $8, $10, $12, something like that. Uber's quite cheap. It's very convenient. When they come, we'd offer them a free glass of wine or, if they prefer, hors d'oeuvres. For us, it'll be a cost of business, but a very well-calculated cost to improve that experience and to encourage the Uber, and it solves the parking problem that we might have to pay for anyway in terms of valet. So it's a calculated cost. When someone comes Uber as well, we think that they will take that initial glass of wine and maybe be relaxed and have another glass because they don't have to drive and worry about police. So we think it's going to make a nice, relaxing evening for the patron. So around that sort of thing. So if they, you know, they're walking by our store manager, if we know they came to Uber, we'll, they'll know that we incentivise, so we'll make that clear. We'll incentivise the end of Glebe Point Road, we'll make that clear. And it's just basically rewarding good behaviour, to be honest. I mean, it's just, you know, behaviour sort of we want that'll make things good for business and for, you know, the neighbours and everything.
And how would you determine if they've got there by Uber or not?
Hello. I'd like to say trust. So I'd like to say trust. So if they said that we got there by Uber, we'd. But I mean, there are other ways. Uber sends a receipt to your phone. If we had to say, look, show us. We think that the regulars would be the ones who take advantage of this more. And to be honest, 60, 70% of people that are regulars, so they know the system, they know they'll get rewarded, and they'll know that. It's probably, you know, there's nothing we can't absolutely be sure, but if they so did, Uber sends you a receipt saying that, you know, they dropped you off at whatever, so maybe we'll get them to show the receipt. It'll be just a pragmatic question in terms of practically how we do it. But I guess the point is it's really important for business that we do it, apart from the fact that it's important for the neighbours. So that's part of our strategy.
Okay. Thanks, Peter, for responding to those questions. If you could resume your seat in the gallery. I'm going to ask Mr. Yarn to respond to some of the issues that have been raised by speakers tonight, and then we'll move forward.
Tonight I don't think there's any new issues that have been raised. It's about the intensification of the development on a highly restricted access site. It's about the difference between a drop-in kiosk compared to a destination restaurant. And I suppose the last proposition about Ubers, I don't know that there can be a reliable expectation that all customers would use Ubers, but if they did, there would be quite a bit of significant drop-off congestion by Uber vehicles coming to the restaurant on a one-way street trying to manoeuvre and turn around after a drop-off and then come back for a pick-up. So a lot of the same things would apply, whether it's a private vehicle seeking parking or a taxi or Uber for those numbers. I don't have a lot to add other than our relevant to our previous advice and recommendations and the need for timely determination of application.
Okay, thanks very much. So what we will do now is briefly adjourn the meeting to consider this proposal and the staff recommendation and what we've heard from speakers. It will be a relatively short adjournment, I think, and so please bear with us, and we will be back to advise our decision shortly. Okay, so the meeting is resumed. The panel has given careful consideration both to the speeches made by the residents and also to the applicant's request for deferral. Our view is that it's not possible to continue to defer this matter. We do need to determine it tonight. We actually only have one option now, which is to refuse the application. I'll put that to the panel shortly. I will just say to the applicant that we are, as a panel, motivated to try to find an ongoing activated solution for this location, but there are obvious constraints, many of which have been put by the residents tonight, that have to be dealt with. It is a sensitive location, and that needs to be considered through the process. In any fresh application, the numbers that were proposed in the original application I think it's clear are not supported by staff or the panel, so you will need to look at that in terms of parking and traffic issues in particular. That having been said, I'm going to put the staff recommendation with one slight amendment, which is to the reason for refusal A, and adding the words after traffic, comma, parking demand and noise, which is not supported. So to actually put the words parking demand into reason for refusal A. So I'll read that out in full. It will say the proposed increase from 60 to 248 patrons, the introduction of a restaurant in addition to an enlarged cafe, and the extended hours for both is an intensification of traffic, parking demand and noise, which is not supported. All the other reasons for refusal, B, C, D, E and F, remain as recommended in the report. So with that one amendment, I will put the recommendation to the panel. All in favour say aye. All right. Okay, I know, declare that carried unanimously. I thank everyone for attending and giving your valuable time tonight, and I hope a solution can be found going forward, but right now this application has been determined. So thank everyone for attending. Move to item 4 on the agenda, which is development application 46 to 52 Mountain Street, Ultimo. I will ask Bill Mackay just to briefly run through what is proposed. I have the applicant who is available for questions and no other resident speakers, but I will ask Bill to just briefly run through the application.
Thank you. So this is an application for minor internal alterations on level 1 and 2 of the existing of an existing building which is used as an educational facility. The site's located within a B4 zone and the development's permissible with consent. The application's recommended for approval subject to conditions. The application was not required to be notified. This is the site, and this is a view of the site from Mountain Street, so the internal alterations are on levels 1 and 2 of the southwestern corner of the existing building. The building's a heritage item. These are the internal alterations to level 1 and the alterations to level 2. It's basically essentially new partitioning. This is a view of the existing interior of the building, levels 1 and 2. The building does have some significant internal fabric, but that's not going to be affected by the proposed development. It's the interior of level 2. So the issues are, I suppose, heritage. The site is a local heritage item. The works are internal only. They won't be visible from the exterior of the building, and they don't physically affect any significant fabric. All works are reversible. The application is recommended for approval. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. So, Jordan Galloway, you're only here to answer questions? Okay, sure. Does the panel have any questions? I think we're quite comfortable with the application, so I will put the recommendation to approve this application subject to conditions. All in favour say aye.
Aye.
Aye, and I declare that carried unanimously. And thank you for attending, and you probably heard a lot about the Glebe foreshore tonight. And all right, we'd have one final item on the agenda, which is Item 5, it's a update report on applications that are coming to the panel. Panel members have any points? Mr. Young?
To say that there's a printing error, and if you go to the website, it is all clear and not doubled up, and the dates and everything. It's just been in the printed copies, so that was checked.
So, I think okay, so this report is for receiving and noting. We have provided some comments to staff about some minor embellishments to future reports, but if we all receive a notice report, all in favour say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And declare that carried and conclude the meeting. Thank the gallery who have now departed and all staff for attending, and close the meeting now.